1. Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your radio of reason, an independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is, special broadcast, I should say, is being brought to you live on Tuesday, February 19, 2008. It is now 9:31 Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our freedom, our property, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. And now, on to our program. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620 or email your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. Folks, that's very, very important today. And not only should you subscribe to his free newsletter, which I find one of the best in the industry, but also for a very small fee, he can give you some personal insight into the financial markets and where to invest your money. It's well worth taking a look at. Go to my friend Andy Sutton. And he knows what's going on, especially in these tumultuous times. Well, good morning, everyone. This morning, this is a special broadcast. We usually broadcast on Thursday morning, which we still will do. But we have this interim broadcast because we have the opportunity this morning to interview a libertarian candidate for presidency. And I'm really excited about this particular interview. The person we'll be interviewing is Wayne Alan Root. I want to read something that's written by Millionaire Magazine. It says, Wayne Alan Root is a millionaire television host, author, CEO, patriot, and risk taker. For anyone who has met Wayne Alan Root, it's no surprise that he has propelled himself to the highest echelons of success in the gaming, entertainment, business, and publishing worlds. His exuberance, enthusiasm, and winning smiles speak volumes. And that's from Millionaire Magazine. The cover story in a French magazine, Arendor, and I guess I'm pronouncing it incorrectly, Wayne Alan Root is without a doubt the best prognosticator in the world. He is a millionaire. He has medium recognition. He is known to all Americans. We might have made the acquaintance of the next president of the United States. Touché. Wayne is the king of handicappers. He is the Warren Buffett of his world. Well, I am really, really excited to have Wayne calling in. He should be calling in a couple of minutes. What is important here, folks, is that I think that what Wayne will do is he will pick up where Ron Paul leaves off. Now, Ron Paul is still officially in the race, but obviously statistically he can't win. Now, if Huckabee drops out of the race and something happens where McCain does not become a viable candidate, and I'm talking that 1 in 10,000 shot, something happens where he gets, God forbid, he gets sick, or something happens where he becomes unsatisfactory to the power brokers in charge, that will leave Ron Paul, but that's doubtful. Now, Ron Paul may have to succeed after after a while, but he's going to see this thing through. But what Wayne does, Wayne is a libertarian. He's running as a libertarian candidate, but he has all the ingredients. He has the enthusiasm, he has the drive, and he has also the, unfortunately, I have to say this, the financial prowess behind him, so that maybe some headway can be made. What I see here is I see the Ron Paul campaign as a movement. And here he is right now, folks. Wayne, welcome to Hello. Liberty Talk Radio. Good morning. Hello. Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I guess we spoke over one each other. Wayne, is that you?
It's me.
Okay. I was just introducing you. So let us start this way, Wayne. Thank you so much for being part of our program. Personally, I'm very excited to have you on the air with us this morning. I was just telling our listeners that you are going to take off where Ron Paul leaves us, wherever that may be. And because Ron Paul is more than just a candidate, he's a movement, and apparently you want to be part of that movement and see it all the way through. And I hope I did not speak out of turn for you. I did read a little bit of your bio from your website, but I'd like to give you this opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners, and then maybe we can talk a little bit about your campaign. So why don't you take off? And by the way, we have plenty of time, so our time is yours.
Well, you know, I go back a long way in this movement because, you know, I am a Barry Goldwater Republican, and of course the Libertarian Party was founded in 1971 by ex-Barry Goldwater fans and campaign managers and campaign activists. So at the age of three in 1964, literally the age of three, no joke, that was my first political experience, handing out literature for Barry Goldwater in my father's arms at a supermarket in Mount Vernon, New York. And so that's how far back my roots, excuse the pun, Wayne roots go. Barry Goldwater is my hero. The Conscience of a Conservative is the book I basically live and die by, my Bible. And of course, the Cato Institute's handbook is the other book I live and die by. I'm as libertarian as you get on fiscal issues. Fiscally conservative, fiscally disciplined, I guess is the way you'd put it. I'm a guy who believes in smaller government, more limited government, lower taxes, lower spending, lower entitlements, if at all possible, dismantling the IRS. And on top of that, very strongly, I believe in freedom. So you don't get much more pro-freedom, anti-government, anti-tax than Wayne Allyn Root. And the difference between me and Ron Paul is, Ron Paul is a sweet guy. And Ron Paul's a hero. And Ron Paul's a wonderful guy. And he fought a good fight. But Ron Paul's not a good speaker. Not a good communicator. Not a good messenger. He reminds me a bit of Barry Goldwater. Barry Goldwater was also an old guy who didn't appeal to the MTV generation and who did not speak in sound bites. And what I am is I'm more of a Ronald Reagan for the Libertarian Party and the freedom movement. Ronald Reagan took the same message of Barry Goldwater, and even though Barry Goldwater lost in a landslide, Ronald Reagan won in two landslides in 1980 and 1984. That's the difference when the same message is communicated by a great messenger. And that's, I believe, what Ron Paul's failing was, is he just wasn't the greatest messenger of a great message. But he tried hard, he fought courageously, he did a wonderful job, far exceeded the expectations of most of the experts and political pundits and D.C. Beltway insiders. No one ever thought he'd go as far as he did. No one thought he'd hang in this long. No one believed he'd raise $30 million. No one believed he had a chance to outlast Rudy Giuliani and actually beat Rudy in most states. So, you know, all those things are great, but the one thing I think Ron Paul's supporters are missing is that he didn't win. He didn't win the nomination. He didn't win a single state. And even though he beat out Rudy Giuliani, he didn't beat out anyone else, basically. So, you know, except for some of the smaller, obscure candidates. The end result is he didn't beat Mitt Romney, he didn't beat Huckabee, and he certainly didn't beat John McCain. So we need someone to take over this movement, grab this ball, and run with it towards the goal line. And I'm the guy to do it for the next 25 years, because literally a quarter of a century from now, 25 years, I'll still be younger than Ron Paul is today.
Right. Well, Wayne, can you tell us where you're coming from?
Tell me what you mean by that, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tell us something a little bit about your background and how you decided to run. I mean, this is a gargantuan task of running for president. And so I'd like to know a little bit about your background and how you arrived at the conclusion that I'm going to run for president, and see if you can tie those two together for us, please.
Well, my background is very unusual for a politician. I'm a small businessman. And I am what the founding fathers envisioned when they talked about politics. They talked about citizen legislators. They didn't want any kings. You know, and at this point, I think you can call the Bushes and the Clintons kings.
Right.
They didn't want anybody who spent their entire life living on the taxpayer dole collecting government checks. You know, lifelong politicians. That was not what they ever envisioned. They envisioned someone like me who runs a small business and also runs for political office. And not only is that the way to do it, because you don't spend your life accepting government largesse, and your whole life isn't tied up in government and bribery and all the other problems we have with career politicians, but of course, once you are a career politician, you're more apt to get comfortable spending the public's money.
Correct.
And you're more apt to stay in office forever, get really cozy, get really powerful, and have an ability to spend even more government money on behalf, supposedly, of your constituents, which, of course, raises the national deficit. So I think there's nothing that's more important to our country than having a citizen legislator instead of a career politician. I fill a bunch of roles that no one's ever filled as a presidential candidate. Small businessman, number one. In modern political history, no small businessman has ever run for president. I'm a homeschool parent, four children, and all of them are homeschooled by my
Wonderful.
Wife and I. And,
great.
And I think that's unusual.
Yes, it is.
And I'm also an SOB, son of a butcher, which means I'm grounded in common sense of a blue-collar kid who's from the real world, who understands the same concerns of the average American voter.
Very good. Well, now, all right, you have this desire. I will agree. You sound a little bit like my wife parrots what you say. She says, Ron Paul's got an excellent message, but he just does not know how to carry it off. You know, he's not the charismatic leader, if you will, you know? He's the guy who's telling you the truth. And if he was in office, he'd do a great job.
It wasn't just Barry Goldwater. It's also George McGovern had a lousy message, by the way, not a good message, a terrible message, a liberal message of expand government and spend all our monies and soak the rich and redistribute their money. Terrible message. And he lost in a landslide. But guess who has that same message today?
Right.
Barack Obama.
That's right.
Barack
exactly.
Obama is George McGovern in black.
Right.
And in very, very, very dynamic and charismatic and educated and everything you could name that you'd want in a politician. And so people are taking that same horrible message and they're thinking it's a wonderful message because it comes out of Barack's mouth. Now, guess who Barack's college classmate was? Columbia University class of 1983.
No idea.
Me, Wayne Allen Root. This is the first time in history that two candidates are running for president from the same college class, both political science majors, Columbia University class of 83. And my talent in life is very similar to Barack's. You know, I wish I could say I'm a really talented guy, but you know what? I really only have a couple of talents. And one of them is a lot of common sense and understanding that the Constitution says the power should be with the people, not with the government. And my other talent is I'm a talented speaker and communicator. I've been on national TV my entire life.
Right.
Literally as a guest on CNBC, CNN, MSNBC, right. Fox News, Fox Business, Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect.
Right.
You name the show on national TV, and I've been a guest on it numerous times. And I've also spent my career as a TV sportscaster and a TV commentator and a TV anchorman at CNBC hosting five shows. So, you know, for the last 22 years, I've hosted my own show on national TV about sports, Wayne Allen Root's Winning Edge. So no matter how you cut it, I have skill sets that are similar to Barack Obama's, and we both come from the exact same college, same class. I'm the guy to translate the freedom message that we've never had. Ron Paul fought the good fight, but he wasn't the right guy to translate the message. He
Correct.
Wasn't the right guy to get it started.
Correct.
Because he did a great job getting it started. Now I'd like to take the ball, run with it, and finish it. And I mean by that, finish it, win it.
Okay.
We got to get the White House.
Right. Why did you pick this time to run for president? You're still very young. Why now? Why not later? Why not, you know, develop, you know, work toward a following for a few years like so many politicians do? You know, they hint at it, but they don't do it, and then they eventually throw their hat in the ring, you know. Why now?
Well, first of all, I sense the danger in now. I don't believe the American public or republic has a chance to wait, to be honest with you. I think time is of the essence. I believe government has expanded so largely, so out of control under George W. Bush, a Republican, who, you know, of course, Republicans vow they're going to cut government, and they're no better than the Democrats. Every time they get in, they expand government. I think now is the time. It's now or never. Now is the time to start a run for the president. I'm not expecting to win, Joe. The fact is, lightning could strike, and maybe I will win. Maybe this will start the ball rolling, and things will happen out of my control. I mean, I've got right now, yesterday, one of the largest film companies in all of Europe contacted me. They want to do a documentary on Wayne Root running as a third-party candidate for President of the United States. They think Europeans, particularly Germans and the British and the French, are fascinated by American politics, and they want to do a documentary on my run for president. So, I mean, this is turning, you know, this is going far beyond anything I ever imagined. Who knows where it leads? I'm working on a reality show right now for American television, meaning every week my campaign would be filmed and the next week would be on in your living room in the United States of America as the ultimate reality show, which would end, the finale would be live on election night, see what happens.
And who knows
what's going to happen. Maybe lightning will strike and we will win. Yeah. But my point is, realistically, you're not going to win in one single try for the president the first time you run as a small businessman and citizen legislator. Realistically, this is really a 16-year battle for the White House that I've begun right now. So you ask me, why am I starting now? I'm relatively young. Because I think it's going to take 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, or 16 years to finally wind up on Pennsylvania Avenue. So the battle has just begun.
I am really excited. I am motivated. I became very discouraged after seeing the percent that Ron Paul had received in some of the caucuses and primaries. And my wife said she had not seen me this depressed in a long time. I said, I cannot believe that Ron Paul has the message that everyone you speak to is asking for, and then when he says it, they run away. And I said, I can't stand the American voter is bothering me more than anything else.
But hey, Joe, let me tell you what I think was wrong with Ron Paul's message, okay? First of all, when it comes to fiscal policy, economic policy, Ron Paul's message was right on the money.
Right.
Fantastic. Him and I are Barry Goldwater disciples.
I'm there too. You're right. I'm with you.
What's that, Joe?
No, I said I'm a Barry Goldwater Republican as well, so I'm with you 100%.
All right. So Ron Paul and I are together 100% on fiscal policy.
Right.
When it comes to national defense, Ron Paul and I differ just a little bit. Not a lot, just a little bit. But it's enough, in his part, the difference is enough to scare off the American public.
Right.
Let me explain what I mean.
Please.
Ron Paul said out loud numerous times that he believes the war on terror is a fraud, and that it was used, this fraud was perpetrated on the American people, basically, to convince us to accept bigger government and to convince us to accept warrantless wiretaps and all kinds of invasions and erosions of our liberties and freedoms. Now, to some extent, if not a large extent, he's 100% right. The problem with the war on terror, in my opinion, is you can't claim you're fighting a war overseas to give the Iraqi people more freedom or the Afghanistan people more freedom and more civil liberties at the same time as you're taking away freedom and civil liberties in America. It's absurd.
Right.
And I agree with that contention. I think the war on terror has been used as an excuse to remove civil liberties here in the United States. That doesn't mean the war on terror is a fraud, however. It means it's been fought fraudulently. It
right.
means it's been fought incompetently. And you can explain that to the American people. You can explain it in one sentence. 7 years after 9/11, there are 10,000 FBI agents in the United States, and only 20 of them speak Arabic. If you think the war on terror has been a success, what do you think of that statistic?
Right.
You know, they were so busy listening in on the eavesdropping on phone calls of Americans without a warrant, they forgot to go hire a few Arabic-speaking FBI agents. My point is, the war on terror is not a fraud. It's real. There are people out there who want to kill us. There are people out there who think we're infidels, and they either want to convert us or murder us, and they have no problem killing women and children. And they're called Islamic extremists. And the majority of Muslims in this world are nice, wonderful, peace-loving people.
Right.
But there's a small minority that certainly are very extreme and believe in murder as a tool to convert people to their religion. That's all true. You can't say that's not true. Therefore, the war on terror is real. It just has been fought incompetently and adjusted, applied incompetently by the Bush administration. I think all of that would have been easier to explain and much more palatable and acceptable to the American people
than
to just say things like, you know, it's our fault for 9/11 and the war on terror is a fraud. I think those two statements by Ron Paul, or certainly it seemed like that's what he was saying, both derailed his entire campaign. The majority of American people will never vote for a candidate who's weak on national defense. And to say, let's bring all the troops home tomorrow from Iraq, even if that means the Iraqi government collapses and every single one of our friends in Iraq who fought alongside us are murdered by the Taliban, I don't think the American public buys that.
Right.
I think what they buy is we got to get out of Iraq fast. And it was a disaster, and we never should have gotten into it. And nation-building is the biggest mistake of foreign policy in the history of America, and let's never do it again. But let's make sure, before we leave Iraq, let's get out of there fast, but let's make sure we don't leave our equipment and supplies behind, we don't abandon our friends, and let's make sure that the security in the army is strong enough that they can hold what we've accomplished so it wasn't all done in vain.
Okay.
Those were all reasonable things to say. Ron Paul did not sound, even though he is reasonable, he didn't sound reasonable on those issues, and the American public got scared. That's what happened. That's the only reason Ron Paul didn't do better.
As a libertarian, what is your position about the 156, and no one knows the real number because there are stealth bases around the world as well, and who knows the count there, but there are hundreds of military bases around the world. There are even now U.S. military bases in some of the countries of the former Soviet Union, which is really hacking off Putin like crazy. What is your position about us having all these troops all around the world, of being the monitor of the world, so to speak?
Well, once again, I would say I agree with Ron Paul 90%, but that other 10% makes him seem so extreme that he scared the American public.
Okay.
All of us in the libertarian and the freedom movement agree that America should not be the world's policeman.
Okay.
We certainly agree, and I certainly agree, that we should dramatically reduce foreign aid all around the world, and especially stop giving billions of dollars to our enemies, not just our friends, but our enemies. And I certainly agree we should reduce dramatically our involvement in world, in military bases and in butting into world affairs all over the world. I think we should bring a lot of our boys home, if not a majority of our boys, and close those bases, save the money, use it to give a rebate to taxpayers to some extent, and use the rest of it to give a raise to the men who do work in the military,
right,
especially the National Guard, who are being worn out now. So, I mean, you know, I agree with Ron Paul on a lot of those things, but the way he said it, Joe, he said, let's close all military bases around the world, and let's stop all foreign aid around the world. A, that's completely unrealistic. You'd have to phase it in over time.
Right.
Even the Cato Institute that I love says, you know, you want to cut back dramatically on both of those, but you'd have to even phase that out over 5 or 10 years. You can't just willy-nilly end every military base in the world overnight. So, I mean, what Ron Paul said just sounded too extreme,
right,
and the American public recoiled and got scared.
Right.
I think he needs to speak in a more gentle manner about major changes like that. To be successful in life, you've got to compromise. And right now, the best thing you could hope for is to get a guy like me, Wayne Allyn Root, and by the way, my website, rootforamerica.com, rootforamerica.com.
Right.
Get a guy like me in office, and I'm willing to accept small bites of the apple and get a little bit of progress going until you can ask the American public to swallow the entire apple.
Well, I'm pleased to hear what you have to say. I agree that it is unrealistic that tomorrow we just drop everything and leave. I think, provided that the world sees that the United States is in fact removing its empire from all of these, especially these dictatorial countries that we're supporting, slowly but surely, I think that would take a tremendous pressure off of everyone, including our, not only our military, but politically, take the reduce the temperature, the pressure in those countries that hate America. They're going to have less of an enemy to fight. And I think that's critical.
Joe, not just dictatorial countries. I personally believe the most important thing right now is to end our, you know, trillions of dollars of spending on countries like Japan, South Korea, and of course the entire Western Europe. They should be defending themselves. Japan's one of the wealthiest nations in the world. South Korea is fast becoming one of the wealthiest nations in...
Hello? Wayne? 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 Folks, it looks like we may have lost our caller. Wayne? Wayne, we seem to have lost you for a minute. Wayne, are you there? Hold on, folks. I think we lost our caller. We're trying to get him back. Please stay tuned. Wayne, we seem to have lost you. No, please call in again. We have the line open for you, okay? All right, thank you. Okay, folks, we're waiting for him to call back in. We just technical difficulty, and we lost him. I don't want to lose him. This is very interesting. Wayne, are you there? Hello? Wayne? Wayne? Hello? Wayne? Can you hear me? Wayne? Wayne, are you there? Wayne? Oh, folks, for some reason we have him on the line, but we cannot hear him. We're going to try to contact him again via our secondary lines and see if we can get him back on the air. This was just too good to miss. Wayne, you're coming up on our switchboard, but I can't hear you. You want to try it one more time, please? Thank you. Wayne, can you hear me? Wayne? Wayne, are you there? Wayne? We're having technical difficulty, folks, and we're going to have to continue this conversation some other time. Let me get him back on the air. Wayne, are you there? Wayne, are you there? Hello, Wayne. Wayne, we never had this problem before. We have you on the switchboard. We just lost you off the switchboard. But could you hear me at all? Oh, geez. I don't know why we're not getting through, because it's all open and there's no technical difficulty. That'll be fine. Okay. I will do that. Thank you so much, Wayne. Bye-bye. Good luck. Folks, we somehow lost our... Okay, what happened is that we lost our connection, our telephone connection.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
And now we're trying to get it back on again, so please hold on and I'll continue on this broadcast. Please be patient. This is very embarrassing.
For important instructions, press 1.
Here we go.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
Okay, here we go. Okay, it looks like we're back on again. Okay. Wayne, I'm sorry to bother you, but we did get our connection back again. If you want to try one more time, or you would like to cancel it at this time. Okay, thank you. All right, he's going to call right back, folks, so just hold on. I do not want to lose him. He's just too interesting, and he's too vibrant a candidate, and I'd like to hear more about what he has to say.
Here.
Wayne, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm awfully sorry, Wayne. We just lost our phone service. The whole thing went down, and we had to reconnect everything back again. So let me allow you to just continue where you were, and our time is your time. I apologize for that.
Well, I just want to remind everyone that my website is Root for America, that unfortunately, the key to politics, the foundation of politics, is money. And without contributions, there won't be freedom. Without, you know, a freedom candidate who believes in the things that I do and Ron Paul does and all of you do, there will not be a credible candidacy or credible candidate. So if you go to Root for America, please contribute and help me carry on the freedom message that Ron Paul so courageously started. But I think I'm going to carry it on in a way that will be more acceptable to the mainstream American public and mainstream voters. And that way we can actually win states. That way we can eventually win entire elections and elect U.S. senators and congressmen and libertarian politicians all the way down the line to mayor, councilman, and water commissioner. That's what I'm willing to do. That's okay. What I'm interested in doing over the next 16 years is leading this movement and bring it to places that no one ever imagined, which is electing officials all over the country at every level of service and eventually getting me elected to the White House. That's the goal, and it all starts with contributions so that we can make this happen at RootForAmerica.com, or if it's easier for you to remember, the candidate, myself, Wayne Root, is WayneRoot.com. They both go to the exact same place.
Okay.
RootForAmerica.com or WayneRoot.com.
Let me ask you one question. I know your time is very limited, but I want to get a couple of quick questions in. What do you think down the line the probability is of you aligning yourself with Ron Paul?
Oh, I'd be willing to align myself with Ron Paul with certain negotiations and conversations
right. Would
have to happen on the issues. But overall, we're certainly in the same place. I mean, Ron Paul and I both describe ourselves as Barry Goldwater disciples.
Right.
So certainly I'd be very interested in aligning myself with Ron Paul. I would certainly hope he would endorse my candidacy
okay. For
President of the United States once he decides that he's out of the Republican race
yeah. And
that the nomination is John McCain's and he's only running for Congress. I'd accept that nomination in a second.
All right. Now, he's not officially – he hasn't officially dropped out. He just is an improbability at this point.
Yes. Well, right. the probability is almost zero. At
right.
Point,
yeah. Right.
John McCain has
yeah, unless John McCain jumps off a bridge or something like that, you know, then, you know, even then I think it's an improbability. But, okay. Now, so what I'm excited about is that we're not looking at one shot. We're looking this as a journey. We're going to take this as the first step. And we're going to take this
correct.
As a building block based on what Ron Paul has started, because he has a tremendous following, just an absolute tremendous following. What you need to do, I guess, now is not only get out to the general public, but make certain that the Ron Paul supporters know who you are and that you're carrying, you know, the banner from here on in.
Correct.
Because then at least you'll start with 10%.
What's beautiful about Ron Paul supporters is that they are so loyal and they are so passionate about the freedom movement and about Ron Paul himself. You just got to give your heart to that. You just got to say, wow, I have never seen in recent history people that are so dedicated to a movement and so dedicated to one politician. And that's really brave, and that's heroic, and that's wonderful. And Ron Paul's inspired all that. So, yes,
okay.
That's the kind of movement that moves forward for many years to come. And I'd love to have all of that support behind me, Wayne Allen Root. No question about
right.
it, Jeff.
Now, do you have the libertarian candidacy locked up? You don't have that locked up yet, do you?
Well, first of all, even if I had it locked up, I wouldn't use the word locked up, because I'm someone who believes no matter how close you are to victory, you've got to always consider yourself an underdog.
Right.
That's the only way to live life. You know, I do that in
correct.
Business as well. You got to fight like a quartered Wolverine. Whether you have the nomination or not, you got to fight for it. I think everybody agrees that I'm the favorite, but they also all agree, the political experts, that Hillary Clinton was the favorite, and she may not win the Democratic nomination.
Right.
They certainly all agreed that Rudy Giuliani was the favorite for the GOP nomination, and look what happened to him.
Right.
So I think you never want to get overconfident. You always want to think of yourself as an underdog and fight like an underdog. So no, nothing is wrapped up in any way, shape, or form. I am, by most experts' opinion or prediction, the favorite for the Libertarian presidential nomination. Ladbrokes of England, which sets the odds all over the world at political elections, has made me a prohibitive favorite to win the Libertarian nomination, and they've also made me a big favorite to get the most votes in the history of the Libertarian Party if I get the nomination.
Very good.
So I feel pretty good about the way things are going, but I am the underdog, and I will think of myself as the underdog, and I will continue to fight as the underdog. It's the only way to be successful in life, Joe.
Okay, and please use Liberty Talk Radio, okay, as one of your supporters, because I'm on board with you.
Joe, I really appreciate
okay,
it. Thank
I really
you very
am
much.
On board.
I'll make sure I put it on my website, Roots for America, that I was on Liberty Radio today. Thank you.
Okay. Also, a quick question, and then I'll let you be, because I know your time is extremely limited. The current financial crisis, where do you think we really are with that?
Well, you know, listen, there's two things I think. Number one, I've always been a positive thinker. I'm never down on America. I'm always up on America and the American people. And I don't think we'll ever be down for the count. We're the greatest people, you know, the world's ever known. We founded the greatest country the world's ever known, the greatest democracy the world's ever known. And it was all based on freedom. So we're never going to be down for the count. Having said that, I do think it's more of a severe recession. I think we're already in it, and it's more severe than the government is allowing us to know.
Okay.
And the reason I know that is because I'm on the front lines. I'm a small businessman myself.
Right.
Business is down dramatically, and it's down among every small business friend I know and I've got. And that's why the most recent stimulus package was a joke. It really was the silliest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's more example of government not understanding how to react to crisis. Well, what they did is they just gave away money that we don't have. The government is heavily in debt, and yet they managed to give away $168 billion more to the American people to try and stimulate some spending and stimulate the economy. But they would have been much better off giving an across-the-board tax cut. Make it temporary if you want. I mean, I'm always a permanent tax cut guy. But
right.
Give a temporary one-year tax cut across the board to every income level, and then the government isn't giving up anything. You
right.
know, it'll encourage people, motivate people to make more money and keep more of their own money. But as you make more money, even if the tax rate's lower, you're giving more money to the government. That's the way that you stimulate the economy. You don't give away money you don't have in the first place. So I don't think that's going to save the recession. I think that's going to make things worse overall with the economy, but it may be a short-term stimulus.
Right.
I think we're in a deep recession. I think it's worse than anyone has told us. It's worse than anybody imagined, but we'll be out of it in a couple of years. The real estate market will rebound. Life will be okay. It always is. This is America. We're the greatest economic engine in the world, and by the way, the reason why is small business, not big
right.
business, not
right.
big unions. Small business. That's the key.
Yep.
And if you're a small businessman, I'm your candidate. RootForAmerica.com.
And I'm a small businessman, so I'm with you. Wayne,
you
thank
got
you.
It. Thanks, Joe.
Thank
I'm
you
on the
so
line.
Much. All right.
Bye-bye.
Get on the road. Thank you. Folks, that was Wayne Allen Root, Libertarian candidate for president. And if anyone has a shot at it, he does. Now, I have supported several Libertarian candidates, I have to admit, and I support all of them. I think what we have here is someone who has a clear vision of not what they want to do immediately. That means win the nomination, the Libertarian nomination, but where do we go from there on in? Unfortunately, most Libertarians have the best of intentions, are some of our best thinkers, know exactly what needs to be done, but do not have the facility to get there. I've often said we needed somebody with a charismatic figure with name recognition to carry this banner. Now, and he makes a good point about Ron Paul. Ron Paul is my hero. Please don't. I don't want to take anything away from Ron Paul. But as my wife says, she says, boy, he says, you know, he's really got to come across more, you know, enthusiastically. But his message is right on target. Unfortunately, he scares people away or they think he's a nutcake. You know, he's not. Obama is the nutcake. Clinton is the nutcake. And the king of nutcakes is McCain. He's a real nutcake. Now, and they're all part of my matrix analogy. They are all bought and sold already. They are all part of. Now, I had a conversation with a friend of mine who I consider one of the most intelligent people that I know. He is incredibly well-read. He's a bright person, well-schooled, you name it. And he is an absolutely wonderful person. If I had to entrust everything that I owned to this one person, it would be this person. Politically, I would put him more in the progressive camp, although he is learning slowly but surely that this may not be the best thing for America. Right? He thinks I have totally lost my mind. He thinks I'm one of these John Birch conspiracy guys, and that anytime I bring up, you know, the crisis and the root cause of the crisis and the deepening, the deep-rootedness of the crisis and how it may affect international monetary systems, he thinks I have absolutely lost my mind. He really doesn't want to know that. He wants to stay away from that. He says, oh, that's got to conspiracy. Now you're doing that conspiracy thing again on me. You know? And he just kisses me off. Well, it's amazing what we have here is we have a fellow who says, hey, things are going to get bad, but, you know, he's the type of person who could win. Now, I agree with him. I think things are much worse than what we are led to believe, and especially what we are told on CNBC News. Basically, what you hear on CNBC News is, well, this is a tough market right now, but if you select the right stocks, you can do well. I mean, that's basically what you get from CNBC News. Every once in a while, you'll get an old codger in there saying, hey, guys, have you seen, do you know what's really going on? You know, and of course, that person gets 2 or 3 minutes, and you'll never see that person again. That's because the Matrix does not want you to know what's going on. Now, we have here Wayne Allyn Root, who is a charismatic figure, who believes, who is a Ron Paul supporter, but saying, hey, Ron Paul needs to execute in a way that is more palatable to the average American. And he's absolutely right. You know, it's like being dead wrong. You hear the expression, you know, dead wrong, that means you're dead right, rather. You know, you're right, but you're dead. I mean, what good does it do? Now, I would love for us to just pull out of everything overnight and bring it home. Bring all our troops home, men and women, and all our equipment, and shut everything down and put everything, line everything up. And I'll go there and I'll volunteer to keep the tanks oiled. So we can use them in case there's an invasion here in the United States. I'll even go there for 2 weeks out of the year. I'll volunteer 2 weeks out of my year to help the Army and the Navy and the whatever. But I want to know that they're on my soil protecting our country. Right? But I also recognize that if, in fact, we closed all the bases and brought everyone home tomorrow, we would go into an economic depression. Now, that would beat the band. Why? Because so much of our production today is going to support the war. Now, in my business, we are associated with manufacturing, especially heavy metal manufacturing. The type of work we do, we're associated with them. And I'm in these factories all the time, and they are going full bore. And here are the two problems that the manufacturers have today. Number one, they cannot get enough people to work, or the right people to work. They need welders, they need metallurgists, they need all these guys who work on this heavy stuff. You know, guys who work on machinists, for example. Very difficult to get, right? And they cannot get enough labor. Of course, it's getting worse now that we're getting more restrictive with our illegal immigration, another subject that I love. But also, the second thing is they cannot get their raw materials because the third world, the China and India, you know, Chindia, or the BRIC, you know, Brazil, India, China, and Russia, all countries that are absorbing all of these, a lot of the world's natural resources, and it's making it prohibitive for them to get resources, to get the raw materials they need to manufacture stuff. But a lot of what we're manufacturing here is filling in because the manufacturers right now that normally build that stuff are building stuff for Iran, for the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and are holding our military together around the world. Now, if in fact we did exactly what Ron Paul said, and I would love for that to happen. I mean, I'm with Ron Paul 100%. I want all the troops home. I don't want to wait till tomorrow. This morning, by noontime, get everyone on a ship and bring them home. I'm being facetious, obviously. It can't be done. But what would happen is that half of our factories would shut down. We would have unemployment that would reach 20%. My company, I can guarantee you, would probably go out of business because my customers would be shut down. We make our money based on the number of employees that are working there because we work with the employees in the industrial health area. So if a company has 80 employees, a plant has 80 employees, and many of them do, that we go to, and they go from 80 to 30, my business is cut by two-thirds, or near that. And that happened in the recession in 2001, 2002. And all of a sudden, instead of making, you know, $5,000 out there, we make $2,000 out there. Well, I can't be in business that way. I mean, I can be in business, but then I have to lay off people. And then I use less supplies, less equipment, right? And this thing carries itself all the way through the economy. So I think Wayne Allen Root is correct in that we need to get out, but not only for the benefit of the people in these foreign countries, but also the benefit of our own economy. So I agree with Ron Paul. Let's get out now. But let's do it little by little by little so it doesn't affect the economy. And I think once the people, the countries around the world, see us retrenching, they see us retracting, they see our troops not moving into countries but moving out of countries, what are they going to do? Riot that we're leaving? Riot that we're leaving. We'd love that. And I think once you see that, we will see international turmoil. But that international turmoil will be with the groups within each one of these sectors, territories, or countries. And there will be wars and skirmishes breaking out. But there's one thing that will be absent: American troops. And will they kill each other? You bet they will. But there's a good chance that they may come to negotiation because they will not have the enemy of the United States to fight anymore. Just like we have done in Vietnam. Vietnam actually now is one of the few countries in Southeast Asia that has its own stock exchange. Would you believe that? A country that we defoliated. We killed, 30 million people in that country. Or 3 million, or however many it was. I forgot the number, but it was in the millions we killed. We defoliated one of the most beautiful countries on earth. Think about that. The ugliest war in the world. And we were instrumental in that war. And today, they are our business partner. Do we care whether or not their president is elected? Or they have a monarchy where the son takes over from the father and stuff like that. No, it doesn't make any sense. Provided there's a rule of law, and when we have a manufacturing plant out there in their country, that it is treated as an entity and is allowed to operate free of government restrictions. Or we don't have to pay off the government to be there or do all those crazy things. Or be under government control, foreign government control. We don't care. And some countries work better that way. Now, folks, I think Wayne Allen Root is an important person to support. And I'm going to support him. I'm going to go on the air by saying I'm going to support him because he brings in the important ingredient. He brings name recognition. And he brings with us for us the carryover from the Ron Paul campaign. And I'm going to ask all of the Ron Paul supporters right after Ron Paul reads his concession speech, and unfortunately, that's the highest probability. The probability of him getting in there is practically nil, you know, that we all go over and we support someone who has the name recognition, the money, and the foresight to look 16 years down the road. He admits he will not win this time, but he'll make his mark. And he's making his mark not only nationally, but internationally. And I like that. I like that. And here's a man for smaller government. Here's a man who thinks the stimulus package is bonkers. Here's a guy who wants to reduce our involvement overseas. Here's a guy who wants to stop sending our money to third world dictators. Here's a guy who but wants a strong national defense. Now, he's saying the same thing Ron Paul is doing, but only he's stair-stepping it. And I can understand that. I have no disagreement with that. I would prefer it would occur today, lock, stock, and barrel. But I can tell you this, I'll have to close down my company by Monday. If we brought our troops home today, all our troops home today, I can guarantee you by Monday there would be a padlock on the door of my company and every one of my employees would be out of business. Well, not be out of business, they would lose their job. Because the companies that make all of the stuff would be out of business. Or they would be downsized to a point where they wouldn't need us, nor could they afford us. And we work cheap, let me tell you. There's no money in my business, unfortunately. But I'm excited about this because I have a guy here with some vision. And we need somebody with vision. And folks, you know, this is a special broadcast. It's 646-652-4620. Please call in with your comments. We got five open lines here this morning. I know this is a special broadcast, so most people don't know I'm broadcasting at this time. But we are live right now. It is now 10:22, and we will go off the air in about 7 minutes. But in that 7 minutes, please call in 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio. I am so pleased to have spoken to Wayne Allen Root. And remember, his website is Root for America. Allen Root for president. I mean, Wayne Allen Root for president. Now, what we need to do is get everyone, get all the libertarians together and say, all right, who has the best chance of winning? Now, sometimes the best person doesn't stand the best chance of winning. And I don't know how you determine who the best person is. But if a person is a libertarian, is a libertarian. You could be a libertarian Democrat, a Republican. And let me say something about this, too. You know, we argue Republican versus Democrat versus this versus that. Remember, Democrat, Republican are parties. They are no longer ideologies. They used to be. That's why the Democrats call themselves progressives, because progressives is an ideology. Progressives mean that we take money from those who are successful and give it to the people who don't make as much money. Very simple. That we have a centralized government. They're the neo-socialist. Progressives are neo-socialists. That's the core of the Democratic Party. Now, there is what they call Blue Dog Democrats. Blue Dog Democrats are libertarians, but you never hear about them. Now, there are libertarian Republicans like Ron Paul. You never hear about them. Now, on the Republican side, you have the same thing, only they minimize the amount of social contributions that the government should make to other people, although they vote for it. They're for larger government, a large centralized government. But they're for a large militarized centralized government. So what the Republicans are today are the neo-fascist. So we have the neo-socialist or the neo-fascist. Take your choice, folks. They're both for large centralized governments that will dictate to us what we do, what we have, and how we live our lives. And they will both watch us very closely. And they will condemn us if we don't follow true to their ideology. That is the antithesis of freedom. The antithesis of liberty is the Democrat and the Republican Party. Both. Either a neo-socialist or a neo-fascist. Makes no difference. It all comes down to the same thing. all you can argue at that point is which one is more brutal. And one is as brutal as the other, because the net result is exactly the same. In a neo-socialist society, if you don't give up your personal possessions to the state so it can be redistributed, you go to jail. You will be criminally liable for that. And a neo-fascist, what more has to be said? I want the Democrat Party to be honest, to say we are the neo-socialist. I want the Republicans to be honest. I want them to say, we are the neo-fascist. Take your choice. That's ideology. That's the exact ideology that they follow. And why they never talk about liberty or freedom or individual rights, because they would be contradicting themselves in the same sentence. I am enthusiastic about Wayne Allyn Root. Root for America. I am enthusiastic about Ron Paul and his campaign. And this station will promote both of them to the end. And if I can, I'm alive 16 years from now, this station will support those two gentlemen and help them get in office. I want you, every one of my listeners, to do the same thing. I want to get some comments from you to comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. Now, this is a special broadcast. We're going to have another broadcast on Thursday morning at 6:30, my regular broadcast at that time. And we're going to talk about more about this progressivism and the dangers of progressivism. We all know the dangers of the Republican Party, of this alignment with God and the Judeo-Christian ethic and all this other stuff, which is contrary to our Constitution. Our Constitution, they say there'd be no religious tests for office. None. But yet, whoever is should abide by the Judeo-Christian ethic. Now, that is contradictory. On Saturday, I'm going to go to the Republican convention because I'm a delegate. I'm a delegate because I'm voting for Ron Paul. And I'm going to make an issue of that. In their platform, they have stated that the Republican Party abides by the Judeo-Christian ethic. And right before that, in the same thing, in the same platform, they say that they abide by the Constitution as intended. They're contradictory. You cannot have both. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in my later broadcast. But Thursday at 6:30, we're going to finish talking about progressivism and the dangers of progressivism that's neo-socialist. I can say neo-socialist fascist, or the Republicans neo-military fascist. Makes no difference. They're all the same thing. And the neo-socialists are not going to get rid of the military. No, they're paid by the military just like the Republicans are. Folks, we're in trouble. And unless we start banding together one by one by one, once we start educating each other, once we become aware of what is really going on and who's running America, will the people finally become in charge again? We have to be in charge of this country. And we can't do it by asking someone else to do it for us. As I say at the end of every one of my broadcasts, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, in other words, do nothing, or you're striving to protect them. And unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Okay, well, I think this is, we're about done with our broadcast this morning. We're going to play out. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Rant Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and folks, do that. Please tell them to listen to Liberty Talk Radio. We've got to spread the word. Everyone must be listening. And if not my program, they have to be listening to programs that are along the same line. Our email address is comments at libertytalkradio.com, and let me hear from you. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, that's Thursday morning, 6:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Stay well. Stay tuned, and good luck. Wayne Allyn Root.